DCC, my church, my home.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to get them ready. And as my wife mentioned, this theme for this year is Forward 2018. If you weren't here for New Year's service, I began preaching on the Forward series. And what we are basically doing is we're looking at the word forward, F-O-R-W-A-R-D. And we're going to look at all the acronyms. What does the F stand for? And I spoke a little bit about that New Year's Eve. And I spoke about how that if we're going to move forward in 2018, we're going to have to focus in on our faith. And we're going to have to focus in on the author and perfecter of our faith, who is Jesus. Would you look at somebody and tell them everything begins and ends with Jesus? Never, ever, ever forget that. The reason why we came to church this morning is to encounter Him. It's not because we came to get a good seat or a good parking, but we came to encounter Jesus. When the elders and the lay pastors are doing what they have been called to do, it's because of Jesus. When the singers come up and sing, and they do that wonderfully, and the musicians as well, it's because of Jesus. Amen. And I don't want us ever, ever, ever to lose sight of the fact that what we do because of Jesus. Look at somebody and tell them again, everything begins and ends with Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. You can come to church and listen to a sermon and never ever encounter Jesus. And you can come in one way and leave the same way. It's because Jesus was never the center of your life. Everything we do is about Jesus. And our job is to lift Him high, not in only in this church, but in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, wherever we find Him. That was the F, and I spoke a little bit about how we can be focused and how, because we have vision, we have direction as well. I'd like to look at the second letter, which is the O this morning, F-O-R-W-A-R-D, and the second letter is O, and that stands for open to every God opportunity. Can you say that with me? I'm going to be open in 2018. If I'm going to go forward, it means I'm going to be open to every God opportunity. Hallelujah. So we're going to move forward in 2018. We're going to dream forward. We're going to look forward. We're going to think forward. We're going to speak forward. We're going to plan forward so that we can move forward. Everything's about forward. Amen. And I want you to say these words after me. The future belongs to those who see possibilities before they become obvious. I'm sure that as we reflect back on 2017, that there were many opportunities that we maybe missed, and maybe on hindsight, now as we look back, we're thinking, you know what, I could have, I should have. And maybe you didn't get to take the risks. And in a sense, if you didn't get to take the risks, you never really did get to live what you were supposed to live in 2017. Here's a poem that I found. And it simply says, there was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked. He never tried. He never sang or prayed. And one day he passed away. His insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they claimed he never really died. So I want to encourage you. Maybe there were missed opportunities and you didn't take a risk. Come on, 2018 is about moving forward, and faith is about taking a risk. If you don't take a risk, you can say you never really lived. Amen? So we're going to take a risk, and we're going to step out of the boat. Amen? And how many of you are ready to walk on water for 2018? Come on, whatever happened in 2017, can we leave it in 2017? Is that good? You know, they have the saying, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Whatever happened in 2017 stays in 2017. Whatever regrets you had, whatever disappointments, whatever missed opportunities, let's leave it in 2017 and let's move forward in 2018. Can you say amen? Say that with me afterwards. Say this with me. The future belongs to those who see opportunities before they become obvious. Now, I want you to know this morning that opportunities come to every single person. Opportunities come. If that were not true, then we would have to call God a liar. And he would have to have favorites, and he would have to have, you know, blue-eyed boys and blue-eyed girls. He would have to have his favorites. But how many of you know that there are no favorites when it comes to the kingdom of God? How many of you know that the blessing falls on the righteous and the unrighteous? So opportunities come to every single person, and we must take them and make something out of them. Would you lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, help me to seize every God-given opportunity and make something out of them that would glorify God and extend his kingdom on this earth. I want to just share some scriptures, and we can look at these very quickly. John chapter 9, verse 4, New Living Translation. John 9 and verse 4, and you can just jot these down. Jesus said, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. So Jesus says, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned. If you're going to carry out tasks, you're going to have to identify the opportunities to which those tasks are assigned to. Ephesians 5 and 16. 5 and 16, Ephesians, NIV. NIV version says that it says this, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Huh? What does it say there? That we are to make the what? The most of what? Of every opportunity. So that tells me that opportunities are coming to us. They're either coming towards you or they are walking past you. But the truth is that everybody has opportunities. One more scripture. Colossians 4 and 5, NIV version, says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. I want you to know that the Bible is full of people who recognize God-given opportunities and who took them and made the most of them. I'm going to just give you some examples. For example, if you talk about Rahab, and I want to use Rahab because she was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She wasn't even a Jew. She was an outsider, so I don't know. She didn't have much given to her. Maybe she was raised in a dysfunctional home. Maybe she didn't have a mother and father. Maybe she was an orphan, and so that's maybe why she was a prostitute. I don't know. All I'm telling you is that Rahab recognized an opportunity when Joshua sent out the two spies to spy out Jericho. The two spies landed up in her place. And look at what Joshua 2 and verse 8 says. The Bible says, now, before they lay down, she came up to them because she hid them in the roof. And she said to them in verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. She recognized this was a God-given opportunity. And she said, guys, I'm going to do this for you, but I want you to remember me and my family and my children and my mother and my father. She recognized a God-given opportunity. Can you say amen? How about Nehemiah? The Bible says that when he heard news from his brethren about the state of Jerusalem and how the walls were in such a state of disrepair and how people were disbanded and they were forlorn and they'd come to the end of themselves. Chapter 1 of Nehemiah is about him praying. He begins to weep and he asks God for forgiveness for the hardness of their heart. And then the Bible says he comes before the king because he was the king's cupbearer. And it so happened that he had a sad countenance. And when the king asks him, what is the matter? Nehemiah recognizes this is an opportunity that is coming my way. It is a God-given opportunity. Yes, I am the king's cupbearer, and I might be denied, and he might turn me down. Nevertheless, I'm going to take a risk and put it out there and see what happens. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, the king says, what is it that you want from me? And he goes and prays. And then he says, this is what I want. And the king says, great, you can go. Not only that, king, can you also speak to the guy who handles all the trees in the forest? I want all the trees. And can you also ensure that I have an army that goes with me? So that, I mean, we're talking about a God-given opportunity. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. What about Naaman, who was not even a Jew? Again, he was the commander of one of the greatest armies of the then time, the Syrian army, and he was a man of valor. He was a man of fame. He was brilliant in his military tactics, but the Bible says he had leprosy. And it so happens that he hears about some woman who is a Jewish woman, and she tells her mistress of the prophet in Israel. And so he goes to his Syrian king and says, king, can you speak to the king of Israel and try and organize for this prophet? I believe that he prays for people and something happens. And so the king of Israel, when he hears this news, he is distraught. He said, am I a healer? I can't heal people. And Elisha gets to hear about the king's situation, says, don't worry, king, tell this dude to come and visit me. And so Naaman comes up to outside the house of the prophet, thinking now the prophet is going to come, going to speak a word over him, going to recognize him as the great mighty commander of the Syrian army. And what does he do? He sends one of his servants and says, tell Naaman to go and dip himself 7 times in the River Jordan. Naaman is furious right there and then. He misses his God-given opportunity. And he goes back and he's fuming and he's, you know, walking up and down. Doesn't that man know who I am? I am Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army. I could just muster up a troop of my men right now, go down there, chop his head off and teach him a lesson. And the Bible says that it was the servants of Naaman who recognized here is a God-given opportunity. They said, Naaman, if this prophet had told you to do something difficult, something that required for you to travel thousands of kilometers and to do something great, to do something hard, to do something that required your military expertise, you would have done that. This that he's asking you to do is not a hard thing, because in this thing is a God-given opportunity. How many of you can hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Hallelujah. How about David when he comes to that place where on the one hill are all the Philistines and on the other hill are all the Israelites, and you got this 9-foot, 11-foot giant that is defying the God of Israel. And David comes there. His brothers begin to ridicule David, and they said, who have you let the sheep with? Have you come to make a spectacle? Have you come to make a name for yourself? And David says, I recognize that in this moment there is a God-given opportunity for God to turn this thing around. We can take out Goliath and we can take out the armies of the Philistines. Is there anybody in this place who understands about a God-given opportunity? Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Galatians 6 and 10 in the New King James Version says, therefore, as we have opportunity. Don't tell me you don't have opportunity. Therefore, as we have opportunity. What does it say? Therefore, as we what? As we are going to get opportunity. In 5 years' time, you're going to get opportunity. Maybe when Jesus comes back, you're going to get opportunity. Maybe if you should make it to heaven, you're going to get. No, what does it say? Therefore, as we have right now, we have opportunity. All we got to do is ask the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes to the endless opportunities that are coming our way. Do you know that it's a lot easier for you to complain and moan? And it's a lot easier for you to see what everybody else is seeing. It takes no faith to see with the natural. And if that is all you are seeing, my friend, I want to tell you, you will be sadly disappointed. You will be sadly disappointed. You have to see with the eyes of your faith. Don't let the governments tell you what you will see. Don't let the newspapers tell you what you will see. Don't even let the economists, and I'm not, you know, going down on education, and there are people that are educated, and the economists and actuarists and all of that, and scientists, and can predict this and tell you where the rand's going to go and what the gold's going to do and what Bitcoin is doing and all of that. But don't let all of these sources tell you what you're going to see. Don't let even the doctors tell you what you will see. Don't let the bankers and accountants tell you what you will see. You must tell the atmosphere what you want to see, because opportunities are abounding every way. As long as God is on his throne, miracles abound. I don't know. I didn't get the message that God has abdicated his throne, that God has fallen off of his throne. But as long as I know, God is still on his throne. And if he is still on his throne, anything is possible. As long as God is still ruling and reigning on his throne, opportunities are there. We just can't see them. We just can't hear them. But they are there, and they are there for the taking. We have to tell the airwaves over our businesses what we want to see. Hello? Is there anybody here that I'm talking to this morning? We have to tell the atmospheres, what are the opportunities in God that exist? That you have the opportunity to be the head and not the tail. That because of the cross, I have the opportunity to be above and not beneath. That though the enemy has come in like a flood against me and my family, yet I have the opportunity for the Spirit of God to raise up a standard on the inside of me that will outsmart, outplay, and outmaneuver every enemy that I face. You have to tell that business of yours the opportunities that exist in God. You have to look at that marriage, that failing marriage, and tell that failing marriage the opportunities that exist in God. You say, well, how do you do that, Pastor? You do that by putting God's word into your heart and then speaking the same word out of your mouth and releasing it into the airwaves. It's not spooky. Some of you think it's spooky. It's exactly what God did, especially when we look at Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. That sounds to me like a pretty dismal, bleak future. That sounds like to me no opportunity whatsoever. That sounds to me like I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, Pastor. That sounds like I don't even know if my marriage can last another week. I don't know if my business can last like another month. But the Bible says, and. So in other words, in the midst of this turmoil, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of where nobody knows what to do, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then here it comes, verse 3. And God said, God spoke into the very chaos. God told the atmospheres, no, you don't know, you're not going to tell me what's to be. I'm going to tell you the opportunities that exist in me, because I am light, and because I am light, I am telling you that in the darkness there is the opportunity for light to be made manifest. And so I'm going to say, let there be light. Hallelujah. Anybody in this place? God didn't wait to see before he spoke into the void and darkness, into the mayhem and disorder. In the midst of all of that, he spoke. And he didn't wait for the darkness to tell him. Instead, he told the darkness what was to happen. You know, sometimes we think we have to wait for the situation to come, the right situation, or we have to wait for the situation to turn and become good before we release our faith. But that's not how faith works. I know a lot of you know that. That's not how faith works. The world tells us that seeing is believing. When I see it, I'll believe it. But the Bible tells us that first I believe it and then I will see it. So the world says seeing is believing, but the Bible says believing is seeing. 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, New King James Version says, and since we have the same spirit of faith. See, faith is a spirit. Faith is not of the mind. It's not of the intellect. It's got nothing to do with how many degrees you packed into your life. It's got nothing to do with that. It's the spirit of faith, according to what is written. Here it is now, the definition. I believed, and therefore, I spoke. You have to be so fully convinced and persuaded on the inside of you that out of that conviction and persuasion, you begin to speak. And when you begin to speak, you are releasing your faith. And you are telling the atmospheres the opportunities that exist in God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What is the purpose of those opportunities? Did you notice that I say that we have opportunities in God? You have opportunities in God this morning. You have opportunities that are abounding in God. I don't want the devil's opportunities. I don't want opportunities that will take me out of the Bible, out of the church, out of fellowship, out of serving, out of loving God. Come on in this place. Some of us, we got to be careful. What opportunities are you trusting God for? I don't want an opportunity that would come and, I'd be blessed in my business, but now I'm divorced and three marriages later, I'm still not happy. No. I want opportunities that are in God. I want opportunities that magnify God. I want, at the end of the day, when people look at me and say, how on earth did you manage to accomplish that? I will say, it is my God. Let's give him all the glory. Let's give him all the honor. Hallelujah. See, a lot of you are frustrated because you're running off to the wrong opportunities. And God knows if you would get into that opportunity, and it might unlock something financial for you. But here's the thing, it'll only be a temporary blessing. And it'll be a blessing that will entangle some of the other areas of your life. And instead of being more freer to worship God, you find yourself more in bondage and more oppressed and more suppressed. And at the end of the day, when you look at where you are in God, you would realize that you have actually backslidden. That's the truth. Any opportunity that comes your way must be an opportunity that is in God, that will take you deeper in the Word, that will cause you to be even more committed, that will cause you to radiate even more light, that will cause you to love more, that will cause you to pray more, that will cause you to know the Bible even more. For goodness sake, we don't need opportunities that will diminish God on the inside of us. We need an opportunity in God that will bless us, yes, that will bring in the finances, yes, but for what purpose? That he would be glorified. glorified, that the kingdom of God would be extended, that I would reach the unreached, that I would be able through this opportunity to heal broken hearts and mend those who are disappointed and bring in those who have grown astray in the things of God. Hallelujah. See, we have to understand what is the purpose of the blessing. The purpose of the blessing, number one, is not so that you can be blessed. That's an after effect. And if you got your priority right, that after effect will always be there. You won't even have to think about how you're going to pay for this, how you're going to meet that commitment, because you got the kingdom of God all the time as number one. I've got God all the time. I've got people to reach all the time. I've got souls to bring. I've got people to disciple. I've got more life groups to add. I've got serving in the house. There's a buzz. I've got community to do with people who love God. That's my purpose. That and in that is my opportunity. Hallelujah. Come on. Never, ever, ever lose the picture. The picture is not about your business. The picture is not about your finances. The picture is not about you. The picture is about God. It is about Jesus. It is about the one who came 2,000 years ago and hung on a cross, and he became the stench of humanity. Hallelujah. So that whoever should believe in him should not perish. The reason why God brings you opportunities is so that in your world, he can use you in that God-given opportunities to reach those who wouldn't be able to come to church, who wouldn't ordinarily be in my world. My world might not be like Cyril's world, and Cyril's world might not be like Brother Ron's world. We all have a world of our own. Look at somebody and tell them, I have a world of my own, and so do you. And in that world of your own is a God-given opportunity. Come on, we got to pray that the Holy Ghost unveils our eyes to see that in those opportunities, the fundamental purpose is so that I can tell somebody about the amazing love of Jesus. That what God did for me, brother, he can do it for you. That if he restored my marriage and he healed my marriage, then he can do it for you. The purpose of that God-given opportunity is that I once was far from God, but now I've drawn nigh. And if he can do it for you, he can do it for me, he can do it for others in this place. And yes, in the middle of it all, God will bless you. In the middle of it all, you'll have so much that you wouldn't know what to do with it. You'll just be giving and giving and giving. And the more you're giving, the more is coming back. And you'd have to employ two more staff to run your office because we just cannot keep up. But I heard the same person down the road running the same business has had to shut shop. Well, not us. We just keep multiplying. I can't keep up. I have to bring in more staff. I'm opening up offices now in Cape Town and Port Elizabeth and maybe East London and maybe even Port Ada. And I don't know, but I don't know what's happening. I know it's dry out there. I know it's barren out there. But in my house, hallelujah, I'm just seeing God opportunities all the way. See, that's how it works. That's how it works. That's how it works. The ultimate purpose is so that he would be glorified, that others would be drawn to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wonderful Jesus. 2018 is an exciting year. Come on. Don't be lulled into complacency. Don't let the world rub their smear on you. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to do anything underhanded. You don't have to go into the corruption thing and pay this person and pay that person. You don't have to go that route. You might get the blessing now, but I can tell you in a couple of months' time, everything will run dry. Listen to me. Listen to me. Do not compromise. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Opportunities are coming your way every minute of the day. They're there. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Tonight, I'm going to give you some practical ways and how you can begin to recognize opportunity. I'm going to give you some practical tips tonight. One of them is rely on the Holy Spirit, but the creativity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a creative spirit. It takes creativity to see opportunity. So, well, Pastor, I'm not that creative. Well, you are. If you know God as your creator, then there will be some creativity on the inside of you. I'm not asking for you to be a painter or a sculptor or a dancer or a musician. Normally, they are the most creative. But if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, He's creating. That's why God had to wait for the Spirit of God to hover. I need creativity. And when there is creativity, I see opportunity and I speak, let there be light. Go on, Holy Spirit, create the light. So the Holy Spirit is the creative part of you. Creative. Creative means you think out of the box. Creative means that not everybody is going to see and read the situation like you read it. I'll read a situation and think, my goodness, nothing in it. Somebody else creative will look at it and say, my goodness, there are three things that I can do with this situation. There are three opportunities that are lying in this situation. To somebody who shut off to the Holy Spirit and not creative won't see any of those opportunities. It takes the creativity of the Holy Spirit to recognize opportunities. They're there. They are there. As long as God is on His throne, He's creating opportunities. They're coming all the time. They're coming at you all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. Tonight I'm going to share some more of these points, about six of them that I've got to help you. But He's a God of creativity, and in that creativity lies opportunity. Problem is that we fail to see them. We fail to recognize them. And the reason why that happens is sometimes because we're just at sixes and sevens with God. Things happen in this world. I know. Things happen in your life. There are decisions that you make. And sometimes there are consequences to those decisions. But this morning in this place, I want you to know that God is not offended by those consequences. He's not offended by those decisions that you made. He's not offended this morning because of your sin. God is not standing here holding His nose because the stench of your sin is unbearable to Him. No. He says, with all of your smell, with all of your sin, with the wrong choices that you made and the failures and the mistakes, all of that, come to me this morning. Come to me. I'll take you just the way that you are.
Friends, I don't like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you're either running God's race or you are not. And the moment you are born again, you qualify to run God's race. So today, perhaps as you are watching, you realize that your life is not right with God. Don't go another day, another moment, another hour, another second without putting right with God. The amazing thing is He is so loving and He loves you unconditionally. It's not based on what you can do or what you can say. His love for you never changes. But you know, as you've been watching, that there are things not right. And right now is a good moment. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week. But right now is a divine moment. Heaven is open right now for you to respond, to come to Christ. And I know that there are people right now watching that are ready to either recommit their lives to Christ or to come fresh, never having come to Christ before. You can do it right now. Would you bow your heads and say after me, Heavenly Father, I ask You for forgiveness. I repent of my sins. I turn my back right now. I renounce the devil and all of his works. But you, Lord Jesus, I invite into my life right now. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. Thank you for your precious blood that cleanses me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity. And I come to you. I open every part of my life. And Jesus, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll never be the same. From this day onwards forever, I belong to you and you belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, I'm so glad that you've prayed that prayer. It's just a prayer of faith. It's a simple prayer. But I do believe that God heard the cry of your heart and that right now you're a child of God. And this is a time to celebrate. We'd like to celebrate this decision with you. So would you be so kind as to let us know what's happened in your life? Let us know if this is the first time you prayed this prayer or if you have any other prayer requests. Right now, the details are coming on your screen, or you can even SMS us your prayer request as well. We do have that facility available. And we're just so glad to be able to join our faith together with your faith and believe God for a miracle just for you. Well, that's about it. We've run out of time. Until next time, God bless you. And remember, Jesus loves you so very much, and so do we.
Besides the Jesus Dome services at Mayville, Durban Christian Center has satellite campuses in Phoenix, Berea, Hillcrest, Chatsworth, Wentworth, and the Bluff. For further details about these venues and service times, please contact us on 031-242-5000 or visit our webpage at durbanchristiancenter.com. And now we wish you a blessed week. Please remember to like us on Facebook or visit our website for more information about DCC, our church, our home. Durban Christian Center is now on WhatsApp. That's right, we are on WhatsApp. So if you would like to send your prayer requests or a testimony, simply voice note us on 082-935-3912. To stay up to date with events, sermon videos, podcasts, live groups, and many more, be sure to download the Durban Christian Center app, which is available on the App Store and Google Play Store.
Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love endures. Jesus, your love.